out our Bibles and let's go to Psalm 100. If you open your Bible to the middle today, you'll probably hit the book of Psalms. You'll hit the book of Psalms. And we're in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Before we leave the Thanksgiving theme and as we enter into the Christmas theme, I just wanted to talk for a minute about Thanksgiving and gratitude from God's perspective. If I were to ask you this morning, which is more important to God, my motives and my attitudes or my actions? Which are more important to the Lord? Does God think it's better for me to have the right motives and the right intentions and the right attitudes, even if I never get around to doing the right actions? Is that valuable to Him? And I think if we would take that topic and scour through the Bible, we would find that both our intentions and our actions are valuable to God. And when it comes to the idea of gratitude and thanksgiving, if I have the right attitude of thanksgiving, but I never move into the arena of acting out or acting upon that gratitude, then the attitudes or the intentions aren't that valuable to God. Just as if I do the right actions, but I have the wrong attitudes, those actions aren't that valuable to God. So what God wants is both the attitudes and the intentions, but then those intentions to be worked out into actions. And in fact, here in Psalm 100, we have five short verses that talk about thanksgiving. The title of this psalm in your Bible is A Song of Thanksgiving. And Psalm 100 is divided into two simple paragraphs. Verses 1 through 3 are one paragraph, and verses 4 and 5 are another paragraph. And they simply tell us how to express thanksgiving in action, and then why we would express thanksgiving. Verses 1 and 2 talk about how to express gratitude. And then in verse 3, it tells us why. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Why? Know that the Lord Himself is who? He's God. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's got things handled in our lives. We can shout for joy. We can worship or serve the Lord. We can come before Him because He's God. Verse 3, it is He who made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That's why we can do these things. Verse 4 starts all over again. This is how we do it. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Why? For the Lord is what? Good. So not only is He sovereign and in control, His character is good. God is a good-natured being. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now, if we go back to verse 1, notice what it says at the end of verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now, the word earth there, if you like to underline words in your Bible, underline the word earth. It really means all the territories. In other words, God has placed people in all the territories on our globe so that He can receive thanksgiving. If we were to draw a map of the world, I wonder which hemisphere shouts more joy to the Lord, the Western Hemisphere or the rest of the world? I wonder if we look at North America, Central America, and South America, and we were able to ascertain how much joy is being delivered to God from South America, Central America, or North America, I wonder which one would win. God has placed people in all of the territories of the earth to shout joyfully to Him. I wonder in the United States, which region of our nation gives the most shout-outs to God? The East Coast? The Midwest? The West Coast? How about in California? I wonder, does Southern California praise God more than Northern California? Is it the Central Valley? What if we took the Foothill community? I wonder which of our little towns has more thanksgiving expressed to God in actions. Is it Loomis? Is it Newcastle? Is it Auburn? Is it Grass Valley? Is it Colfax? Is it one of the surrounding communities? Which territory gives God the most actions of gratitude. Because he says here, he is placing people strategically in all the territories of the earth with the purpose and assignment that we would express thanksgiving and gratitude. Now, in this particular section, in this chapter, for these five verses, there are six calls to action. And we're going to go through these six, and we're going to kind of do this morning something that you hated when your teachers did it in school. We're going to do a pop quiz. Remember a pop quiz? It's unannounced. We weren't ready for it. I just want to throw a pop quiz on us today about what actions do I really engage in when it comes to gratitude and thanksgiving. Sure, I am grateful in my heart. Sure, I have gratitude to express to God when I say grace, when I do other things. But does my gratitude ever work its way into actions? Because here in Psalm 100, we have six calls, not just to attitudes, but to actions. There's attitudes included, because you can't have one without the other. So let's look at this six here. Let's go to verse 1. The first call to action says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And that word shout is the triumphant war cry. It's the cry that the soldier makes right when he's going into battle to intimidate the enemy. This rah, triumphant war cry. And it's the cry that he does right at the end of the battle when victory has been won. That there's this triumphant cry. Shout to the Lord. With joy, it says, all the earth. In other words, my gratitude needs to be expressed verbally. And it needs to be expressed with some volume. Yes, I can say grace at the table. I can take Thanksgiving and go around and let's all share what we're thankful for. Those are good exercises. But what this author is talking about is to ratchet it up and to put some enthusiasm and to put some volume behind it and say, God, I can't believe how sovereign you are. Thank you for being in control of my life. Thank you for handling the things I can't handle. Lord, thank you for providing for me. I'm not just doing it as a statement. It's like a war cry, the triumphant war cry of the battlefield. Shout joyfully to the Lord. I wrote down there in our notes, do I verbally express my excitement to the Lord? When I talk to God or when I talk about God, is there an excitement in my voice? Is there a triumphant war cry coming out of my mouth? So if you think about yourself just for a second, grade yourself, score yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. What's 10 is the highest. How would you rate yourself today as someone who carries out the attitude of thanksgiving through verbal expression of excitement? Shout for joy to the Lord. The second call to action is in verse 2. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Now, some of your versions say, serve the Lord with gladness. Because the word worship in this instance means service. It means my sacred duty. I am thrilled to serve the Lord. And it says there to serve the Lord with gladness. You know what that word gladness pictures? A sparkle of the eye. That I'm doing something and I just enjoy it so much. There's a sparkle in my eye. You know, all over the ancient culture, people used to wear all kinds of clothing. And similar to some of the ways that women dress in the Middle East today, you can't see much of their facial expression except for their eyes. Is there a sparkle in our eyes? Do we serve the Lord? Do we serve the Lord with gladness? Do we serve the Lord with a sparkle in our eye? Do I serve the Lord regularly? And with festivity. How do I score myself? As an expression of my gratitude and thankfulness to God, I want it to work its way into action by doing some kind of regular service, sacred duty to Him. And I do it not grudgingly. I do it with a gleam in my eye because I'm doing it with gladness. The third call to action is also there in verse 2. It says, come before him with joyful songs. The word before him literally means in front of his face. Come in front of God with joyful songs. I put down there in our notes, are my prayer times mostly comprised of worship or petitions? Do I come before God regularly not just to seek his hand, but to give glory to his face? Do I come before him when I get alone with him and spend some time adoring, spend some time thanking him for who he is, thanking him for his goodness, thanking him for his character, for his sovereignty, for his watching over my life? Or do I just spend time with God when I need something from him? It says, come before him with joyful songs. When you spend time with God, do you ever sing? When no one's around, you sing a song of joy. The ancient world sang all the time, singing a song of joy. Come before him. Come before his face. One of the great privileges we have as followers of Jesus is that we get to talk directly to him. And when we talk directly to him, we spend time taking the attitude of thankfulness and moving it into the action of joyful songs, or expressing our gratitude and our joy that I get to spend time with him. How do you rate yourself on that? 1 to 10. 1 to 10. The fourth call to action is in verse 3. It says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It says, know that the Lord is God. The word know there is not talking about I know a fact intellectually. The word know there has the idea that I recognize this as a certainty, that I am assured of this idea. I am so confident that God is our creator and that I belong to him, that we are his sheep and he is our shepherd. See, when the chips are down and when difficulties arise in my life, do I take control of my life back from God, or do I sit in the assurance that I know from past experience that God can handle my life and God can handle the circumstances of my life? And that he's the shepherd. So where he leads me is the best place for me. That he's my creator, that we belong to him. These sound like very simple ideas. But when we move from the attitude of thanksgiving into the action of being certain and confident and calm, because I'm trusting that God is the one that made me, I am his. I didn't make my own life. He is the shepherd and I am the sheep. I can rest in that. So I can get through anything. I can get through anything. Do I openly acknowledge that he is my provider and my guide? When I spend time talking to God, do I openly acknowledge to him, God, you're going to have to take care of this. God, thank you for providing. Thank you for guiding. When other people ask me, how are you getting through it, or what are you going to do? Do I openly acknowledge that, you know what? I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'm trusting God because he's going to show me what to do. I'm not sure how it's going to result. I'm not sure how what the outcome is going to be, but I am confident of this, that he's my shepherd and I'm going to rest and I'm not going to live a life based on fear and panic, because I am assured that God is the Lord and the Lord is God. How do you rate yourself today on that? What would you score? Would you give to yourself? Verse 4 has the fifth call to action. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, courts and gates refer to the public temple gatherings of the ancient world. What's so interesting, if you go to Israel today and you go to Jerusalem and You go to the old part of the city where the Temple Mount is, where the Temple of David and Solomon used to be, in the Herod's Temple where Jesus went. Before you can even go up to the Temple Mount, where the temple used to sit, you would first, as a family, come from your house and approach the Temple Mount. And all along the front edge around the Temple Mount are mikvahs, or baths. And what you would do is you would put your temple clothes or your church clothes in a bag, and you would bring your family, and the first stop you would make on your way to church is the mikvahs. And the guys would go to one way, and the women would go to another way, and you would disrobe, and you would walk down these steps into a huge bath, and you would take a symbolic bath, and you would come out of the bath, and you would put your church clothes on. And the picture, the symbolism is that I am cleaning my heart, I am cleaning my life in preparation to go and worship God. See, what this verse is saying is not go to the temple and then prepare to bring thanksgiving. You don't go to the temple and then open up your heart for praise. It says here you enter that way. So even before you get to the temple, you've already prepared to be thankful. You've already prepared your songs of praise. And so the people of Israel would go through the mikvahs. And after you came out of the mikvah and you put on your church clothes, so to speak, you wouldn't hold hands with anybody. You wouldn't touch anybody, because you didn't know if their heart was clean or not, and you wanted to go before the Lord clean. And the second thing that happened is the steps that actually go up into the temple court, these steps were uneven. Some were 3 or 4 inches high, some were 5 or 6, some were 7 or 8, and the depth of the steps also varied. And so what you had to do when you came out of the mikvah and you put your church clothes on, you couldn't just run up the steps into the temple because the steps are uneven. And by having uneven steps, it forces your mind to concentrate on the steps, and it forces you to slow down and to take your time coming in to the temple courts of God. Two very beautiful pictures of what the psalmist is talking about here. That I would take time and I would pre-plan and pre-prepare to express praise and thanksgiving. It would be like us today getting up a little bit early on Sunday morning and preparing our heart to come to gathering. Purposely planning a Saturday night so that it can be quiet and restful, so that my heart and mind can be fresh and my heart full of praise and my mouth prepared to sing thanksgivings to God. I don't come to the gathering and then hope that I can get my heart ready to sing to God. I come into the doors already prepared because I've kind of symbolically gone through the mikvah. I've kind of slowed my life down from the fast pace of my week. And I purposely slow everything down. Why? Because I'm coming into the presence of God. And I don't want to come into these doors. I don't want to enter and then get ready to express thanksgiving and praise. I want to come in the doors already prepared to express thanksgiving and praise. Do I arrive at worship gatherings ready to praise and give thanks to God? How would you score yourself today? And lastly, verse 4 and 5, give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. The last call to action is to give thanks to him and to praise his name. For the Lord is good. Now that word good, again, it's not an intellectual idea. It's a personal experience. It has to do with being pleasant to the senses. In other words, I have come in an encounter with God, and I, in my senses, in my heart, know by experience that God is good. It's not just an idea I have. It's an experience that I've walked through. Because in my spending time with God, I've learned that he is good. And so I give him thanks for his goodness. I spend time recognizing how pleasant it is to be in the presence of a God who has good character. You want to do an interesting study? Study the gods of history and try to discover how many gods that people have worshipped through the centuries are described as good in their character. There's very few, actually. But the closer you get to know Jesus, the more good, if that's a right phrase, you find him to be. And not just good with the idea of good. He is so good, he comes to be pleasant to my senses. He's good. His faithfulness overflows from generation to generation. I love the way that it's phrased here. It says, his faithfulness to all generations. Literally, it says that it is from generation to generation. In other words, it's fresh and new in every generation. There hasn't been a generation that has ever existed in heaven that has not experienced or had the opportunity to experience the goodness of God. And it says there, give thanks. And the word to give means to throw applause. You know, when someone does something great in a sporting event, or when someone performs a great feat, or when someone does something that's very inspirational, what do? We throw them an applause. We are giving them our thanks by applauding for them. And what this psalmist is telling us is, how many times do we throw God a shout out? How many times does our gratitude work its way in to our hands? And we tell people at work, wow, you can't believe what God did, and I want to give him the glory. I got to tell you how good God has been to me. And we are giving up an applause for God. That's what it means to give. Because he's been faithful. Hasn't he been faithful to you? Hasn't he been faithful to the family? Hasn't he been faithful to this generation? God, again, is raising up a new generation. And so he's going to show his faithfulness to them as well as he did to our generation and to the past generation. And we go back every generation in history, and God has always shown himself to be faithful. And he deserves a round of applause for being a good and faithful God. Do I publicly give God the applause for the blessings in my life? Do I do it publicly? So, how do you score yourself? 1 to 10. Do I applaud God for his promises? His promises of forgiveness and deliverance and cleansing and restoration and strength. Do I give him applause for the promise of heaven one day? The idea is that, yes, I'm giving God thanks. Now, add up your scores. And here's the score sheet. 0 to 10, that's poor, folks. That's really... 10 to 25 is a little below average. 26 to 40 is average. 41 to 50 is above average. 51 to 59 is excellent. 60, see my teaching on pride. Because nobody's a 60. Nobody's a 60. But you know, this is just a simple reminder that in this short psalm of thanksgiving, there are 6 commands of action. Let's shout. Let's take our thanksgiving to a whole new level. Let's serve. Let's come before him. Let's know. Let's enter into his gates. Let's give thanks. Let's applaud him. Let's applaud him. Yeah, there you go. Proper attitudes, joy, gladness are mentioned, joyful songs, thanksgiving and praise. Proper focus, it's all about him. The words in this psalm are Lord and him and God and his and he. Gratitude is openly expressing actions and attitudes of gratitude to the Lord. See, attitudes that don't lead to actions are not of much value to God. Actions without the proper attitudes are not of much value to God. But when we can combine the right attitudes and turn them into the right actions, God is pleased. And so the psalmist says, here are six tangible ways to take the attitude of thanksgiving and move it into an action point that focuses on his goodness and his sovereignty. So as we move from the Thanksgiving week and we move into the holiday week of Christmas, let's make sure that we don't just have the proper attitude of thanksgiving, but that we express it in our actions. That we would shout joyfully to the Lord. That we would throw an applause his way. That we'd come before him with joyful songs. That we would know that he is God. He is in control. And I trust him in this circumstance. And that he is good. I can count on his character and his kindness and his goodness. This is how we move from just the right attitudes of thanksgiving to the right actions of thanksgiving. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. Lord, we thank you for this week gone by, and looking at the history of our lives and the history of our nation, we have a lot to be thankful for. Looking at the current condition of our world, we have a lot to be thankful for. Looking at the condition of our family, we have a lot to be thankful for. And so, Lord, we just want to take time this morning to not just have an attitude of thanksgiving, but to actually say thank you. We want to move our attitude into action. And so, Lord, in these coming weeks, may we throw applause your way. May we not just come to you to seek things that we need, but may we come to you and just spend some time thanking you and praising you for who you are. For you are in control. Lord, you are our provider. You give us what we need. You are the shepherd and we are your sheep. We want to follow you. And thank you that you are so good. That you are so good in your character. You are so good in your decision making. You are so good in your attitudes toward us. And we just want to reflect that, not in our own hearts, but through our very lives, our physical being. Help us to do this holiday season. We give you the praise and the glory, and we sing that, we pray this together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today. Have a great day.